Warm greetings to you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to 2 Peter chapter 2. We shall be looking at only three verses, 11, 12, and 13. But just to have the context of this morning's message entitled Natural Brute Beasts, taken from verse 12. The Apostle Peter wrote his epistles, 1st and 2nd Peter, to a generation that faces great persecution. And he knew the persecution will increase in intensity because very soon Nero will burn his own capital city and put the blame on the Christians. Before that, only Jews who were unbelievers would hunt down Christians, people like the Apostle Paul, before his conversion, of course. But after the burning of Rome, every Roman citizen would join the Jews to hunt down Christians. And so Peter wrote these epistles to strengthen and to undergird the faith of the believers. And so in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, he talked about the mathematical formula, the guarantee of a holy life, a life of victory in Christ Jesus. That if you are truly born again, you live a life of obedience to God's word, you will surely, surely abound and be victorious. The love of God will keep you. The promises of God's word will assure you and comfort you, and you will never, never give up. And then he highlights not only the difficulties that come from outside the church, but also the enemies that will come from within. And that's the focus of 2 Peter chapter 2. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So just as in the Old Testament times, when you study the books of the Old Testament, you find false prophets in the midst of Israel, Peter says, you're going to find false teachers in the midst of local churches, in the midst of God's people. And these wicked people who will be teachers of God's word, their motives, their agenda are listed for us in verse 2 as well as in verse 3. Many will follow them. They are going to garner great crowds. Great crowds will be attracted to them, and they're going to have a very, very large following. And the ways the Bible describes them as pernicious, destructive ways. And they're going to speak evil of the truth, the way of truth, the testimony of Christ, the Word of God. They will use the Word of God. They will mention the name of Jesus Christ, but they are going to twist it. They're going to diminish it. They are going to attack and undermine your trust in God's Word. In the name of Christ. Purpose, make merchandise of you. Verse 3. They are going to make money out of your belief, out of the thousands, if not millions, who will follow them. And they are called false teachers. And God assured us that they will be judged, just as fallen angels were judged, just as the old world in Noah's time were judged, just as the people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were judged. These people will also be judged. And God knows how to judge them. God will make no mistake. He will ensure that those who are faithful, those who are obedient, God will watch over them. They will be spared from this judgment. And that's where we studied the two different kinds of God's judgment. The Bema Seat judgment only for believers, where our works in Christ Jesus will be evaluated by God on the day of judgment. God will use fire to test whether it is gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. These will be the judgment of believers, where their salvation is assured, but their life on this earth will be evaluated by God. But those who are the enemies, they will face the other kind of judgment where God mentioned them chiefly among these people who will be judged will be those who walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, verse 10, and despise government. They don't care about authorities. What about authorities that are so important in the eyes of God. So much so that these wicked people, they have no fear at all. They will just simply level all sorts of charges against them. Even if they deserve it, you and I ought to be very careful what we say. Be careful of what? Well, the Bible says in verse 11, using these two words to describe what we should be very careful of. Railing accusation. What are railing accusations? The word railing is where we get the English word blaspheme. Things that are not true about them. Now, the Bible is not saying pretend that sins do not exist in the lives of leaders. The Bible did not say that. We should look after one another. If a particular leader, including leaders in the church, have done something wrong, by all means, with much prayer, approach that person and deal with that sin. But be very careful of blaspheming accusations, judgments, false judgments, in other words, that are not true. Call them names that are not true. Be very, very careful. Think very carefully. Because you may call yourself a pastor, you may call yourself a prophet, you may call yourself a teacher, you may have the world calling you all kinds of names and giving you all kinds of rewards and accolades and titles after your name. You may have your PhDs and your THDs and all kinds of doctoral degrees. As far as God is concerned, God just simply called these people natural, brute, beast. That's what they are in the eyes of God. And we know that only God's judgment counts, because His judgment counts for eternity. What man calls you is only good for this lifetime. And they will change. They may call you one thing right now because you are so sweet, so nice, so good. The next moment they can call you all kinds of names. That's how best friends can turn out to become worst enemies. These are the accolades of men. But when God makes an evaluation of us, and if He calls us natural brute beasts, we must take note and be very careful. Because that's a very serious description. The word natural is where we get the word physical. That means these people cared only for the physical well-being. Material things, they are very materialistic. If you are occupied with a materialistic mind, all you care about are material things, things that are of this earth. You are not excluded from this description. The word physical characterizes these people. All they think of is how to indulge in more and more materialistic way of life. In terms of their thinking, in terms of their education, in terms of their dressing, in terms of their entire way of life. All they care about is a luxurious lifestyle. That's what they aim for, and that's what they equate as spirituality. Because they make merchandise of you. They turn the ministry into a way to make a living. That's all. It is no different from what you find out in the world. It is like someone who is just simply selling a plate of food in the hawker center. They turn the ministry into something like that. They make merchandise. All they care about is how to make money out of you. How to get more money out of you. By hook or by crook, they're going to deceive you, they're going to lure you, they're going to entertain you, they're going to do whatever it takes to make you loosen that purse string. Because that's all they care about. The physical things. So be careful of those who tell you become a Christian and you will never be poor, you'll never be sick. Turn it around from the positive perspective. This is what theologians call the health and wealth gospel. That's the word natural, physical. Health, physical. Wealth, physical. And this is very common nowadays. If you believe in Jesus Christ because you think you'll never fall sick again, You belong to this group. The teacher that you listen to belong to this group. The person who gave you the message belong to this group. Because all they care about is the physical. Health and wealth. If this occupies your mind in bringing up your children, health and wealth, give them all kinds of vitamins. Make sure that they are healthy and strong. Make sure they have enough exercise. Focus only on their studies, so they can get to better school, get better jobs, get big houses, and so on and so forth. We belong to this category. Only thing we care about, physical, natural things, nothing spiritual. And God described them as brute. This word brute, do you know the word logos? Logos means the word. Sometimes it is used to describe Christ, especially in the book of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Logos. It also means reason. This word brute, you attach the word are, the word negative, like millennium, are Logos. It's a very unique word. In other words, these people cannot be reasoned with, cannot be spoken to, cannot be explain to them why they should not do it this way. They will not listen. That's why their behavior is very brute-like, brutish. They don't care for anything except themselves, except how to get more physical things. No point wasting your time reasoning with them because they are very brutish. Beyond reasoning, irrational to the point where their mind is so set, so fixed, that all they care about, they are so consumed, they are obsessed with what they want. They don't care for any person or anything, not even God. They feel so, so sincerely, by the way, that they are right. They are very sincere, no doubt about that. Now you know very well that sincerity without truth makes you a very dangerous person. Because you are so convincing in your arguments, in your entire disposition. And then you lure them into sin and greater sin. And you truly believe that the more material things you garner around you, you are blessed by God. They really believe that. That's why these false teachers are so deadly and dangerous, and that's how they can have many followers following their pernicious ways. These ways are so obviously wrong. So obvious. When you study the Word of God, it is so clear. Why would Jesus Christ come down from heaven's glory so that you can have a bigger wallet, a bigger bank account? Do you think God's power alone cannot just simply use His spoken Word to make you a millionaire? That God had to endure the separation between the Father and the Son for the Son to hang on the cross and cry those words that you and I can never comprehend. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God has the power. He owns the whole world. He owns all the gold, all the diamonds, all the precious metal. If He wants to make us rich, He can just simply use His power and boom, you'll be rich. If all He has to do is to heal you of your running nose, God is able to heal people of all sorts of grievous diseases like blind eyes were made whole. Legs that never walked before were given full fresh muscles. They did not just limp and go for physiotherapy. They just pick up their mat and they just simply ran off. He didn't have to send Jesus Christ to heal us physically. And for them to turn the salvation work of Christ into a focus on material health and material wealth. God calls these people natural brute beasts. The word beast there simply means you are no better than animals. In fact, perhaps the animals are better. Because God never at any time described an animal with these two words, natural brute. Only us, human beings who are supposed to know better, human beings who will twist and turn the truth of God for their own ends, to line their own pocket. That they may drive big cars, live in big houses, making merchandise of God's people, abusing the truth of God's Word. Be very careful that we do not belong to this category. What occupies your heart's desire? That's the bottom line. There are many out there. Many belong to churches with large congregations. You envy them? You be careful. Just because someone comes up to you and says that he's a Christian. We live in the last of the last days. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ said when he returns, will I find faith on the earth? That means genuine, sincere faith will be very, very rare. Very rare. The church will be made up more of goats than sheep. Bad fish, tares, than good fish and wheat. This is the characterization of the local churches in our time by Jesus Christ himself. And so do not be deluded. Just because a person says he's a Christian, do not measure the blessings of God in terms of material things. God called these people beasts, natural brute beasts. Irrational, can never be reasoned with, and all they care about are physical things. And therefore they have no fear of anyone. So this mark them out. Are you afraid? Afraid of God? Afraid of God's judgment? Afraid of authorities? These people have no fear, even though they are so wild in their behavior. They don't care. Look at verse 11. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these natural brute beasts, they don't care, they would. Now, who are the them in verse 11? Bring not railing accusation against them in front of God. The them there would have to refer to what is mentioned in verse 10, isn't it? But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, referring to the false teachers in the lusts of uncleanness, that's what they care about, and despise government, rulers, and people who are in authority over them. They are very presumptuous. They very, very sincerely think that they are right. They are so arrogant. They are self-willed. They only seek to please themselves in all that they do, and they are not afraid to speak evil. The word speak evil is the same word for blaspheme that you also find in verse 12, speak evil, which is also the same word that you find in the word railing. So these false teachers, they have no fear in blaspheming dignities, people in honor, people in authority. But angels, which are greater in power than men, than them, they dare not bring railing accusation, blaspheming accusation against who? The them that would be the dignities before the Lord. Do we have examples? Yes. Many examples in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Daniel. Daniel lived in Babylon. There were many Babylonian kings after Nebuchadnezzar who was converted by the grace of God and became a believer, who were very wretched and wicked. And when the angels brought the word of God to Daniel during the reign of these wicked kings, not once did any angel say any blaspheming judgments against these wicked kings, like Belshazzar. None whatsoever. They were there to just simply deliver the word of God. Give the message. That's all. They held their tongue. Do you know why? And these angels are far more powerful than men. They knew their place. They knew what they can do and what they cannot do before God. And even though these kings were evil and wicked, they kept their mouth shut. They just carried the message that God had given to them, to Daniel, and that's where they did. That's exactly what they did. They don't add, they don't subtract. They had the fear of God in them. These were good angels. And they are definitely far more powerful than men. Greater in power, that is in terms of their natural ability. In terms of their strength. In terms of their physical power and strength and might. One angel can kill 100 over thousands of the elite soldiers of the Assyrian army. Just one night.
That's the power of angelic beings. You and I can never fight against them. And when they are so much more powerful than men, they knew how to conduct themselves when it comes to these earthly dignities. Even though they are wrong, do you know why? Because they understand the sovereignty of God. They understand scriptures very well, that when God raises up a king, when God even allows a wicked king to come up to power, God has a purpose, God has a reason. We are not saying that you cannot point out their mistakes. By all means, if they have done something wrong, point them out. If it is an elder in our age and in our time, the Bible has given us instruction on how to bring accusations to an elder, against an elder. At least two or three witnesses. And these accusations better be factual and be accurate. And once they are established to be true, then the elder will be asked to repent. Even after he has repented of his sin, let's say it's a sin of adultery, he must still come before the congregation and confess his sins to the congregation because of the position of eldership that he has. This includes pastors as well. And then there will be a season of observation, which we call a period, where he will be removed, his office will be suspended, under observation, where he will be given certain assignments, reading God's word. He will be asked to attend prayer meetings regularly, attend service, and he will continue to be asked to do everything, but not allowed to teach, not allowed to do any work of an elder until the period of suspension and observation is over, to demonstrate genuine fruits of repentance. And of course, during this period, he is not allowed to help serve in the Lord's Supper, he is not allowed to take the Lord's Supper as well. And the congregation is told to pray for him and his family, as we have to restore a minister, an elder, or a pastor who has fallen into a grievous sin. Now, we are not saying that you cannot do this. You can. The Bible has given us clear instruction. But you be very careful when you make a blaspheming statement against someone. The angels dare not do that because they fear God. They know God put them there for a purpose. King David had the same understanding, did he not? He made sure that he did not lift a finger against King Saul. God put him there, even though he disagreed with what King Saul was doing, God is the only one who could remove him. God put him there as a king. That was the biblical way to remove a king. No shortcut, no lifting a knife or a sword or a spear and thrust him through. You will not be found guiltless before God. Authorities are not people you and I should demean. God put them there. And they include your parents. They include your teachers in school. They include everyone whom God has put above you. Your employer, your boss, your government, your ministers, all of them. That's what the Bible says. Pray for them. Be very careful, because you are basically, when you bring blaspheming accusations against them that are not true, you are doing it to God. And these people, they don't care. These characterize their brutish behavior. Are you like that? Demean, disparage people in authority, call them names, and you know that this is demeaning. You know that this is very disrespectful. Angels won't dare to do it. Now, we're talking about good angels, not bad angels. Fallen angels, they do all kinds of terrible things. Evil things. Tell lies. Deceive. Blaspheme. They do that all the time. Angels won't dare to do that to earthly dignitaries. How much more us? Be careful. Because that's how God described them. They are natural brute beasts. What about them? God said they are made to be taken. Made to be taken means they are designed to be captured. They will not escape, in other words. God knows exactly who they are. In every congregation, in every age, these people are made to be taken, to be captured by God, and they are going to be captured like animals that are captured, and then to be destroyed. They are going to face their just desert. speak evil of the things that they understand not. They continue to blaspheme in the things that they have no idea what they are doing. No fear of God, consumed by their own lust, their self-will, their arrogance, unteachable, irrational, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. They will not be annihilated. They're not going to disappear into thin air when they are judged by God. They are going to be sent to hell. They are going to be sent to the lake of fire for all eternity. By God Himself. This is a very, very serious sin. And it is marked by people who think all the time about material things. About the flesh. About wealth and health. Are you like that? A Christian will never, never do that. A Christian knows spiritual things. The rest of this chapter is a very, very stern warning to all of us. Just to jump a little bit. Look at verse 21. For it had been better for them, continuing with this characters, next Lord's Day senior pastor will continue. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, that means not to have been told about Christ, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. The only way God has given to mankind to deliver mankind from the bondage of sin, these people have been given this message, the people have been told this way of salvation, and then they just simply threw it away. Threw away the only one who could save them. And that's it, you know. You threw away the only Savior who could save you from your sin. What else is there left for you but judgment and condemnation? It is better for them not to have known it, so that if you have not known it, at least somewhere along your earthly sojourn, someone may show you the way. But now that you have known the way, you have discarded the way, what else is left for you? Absolutely nothing. And you have replaced it by a mindset, by a heart that is so consumed and obsessed by only the physical things. And you turn all that into a marketplace, a merchandise for you to sell in order to make money. And you get thousands of people to follow you in these pernicious ways. And all you do is to make merchandise of them. And God will hold you accountable. God will judge. You will not escape. God says you will utterly perish in your own corruption. Literally what it means is, they shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. For the same way that you destroy others, God says, I will destroy you. That's the meaning of the last phrase, shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You want to corrupt others, God says, I will use the same destructive ways that you use to destroy others to destroy you. This is the kind of verses in the Bible that we come up with the term, or theologians come up with the term, just retribution. The retribution that you afflict others with will come back unto you. Just retribution. You're going to be punished. No one will escape. God will make sure of that. Rest assured. Please, as Christians, let our heart and our mind be focused on spiritual things, eternal things, not material, not physical, not so much this body. Why do you want to stay healthy if it is not to serve God? So that you can indulge in more lusts? Why do you want to pray for healing when you are sick, if it is not to serve God? So that you can continue to sin more and more? What is the purpose of being saved by Jesus Christ? What is the purpose of this body that God has given to us, that have been sanctified by the blood of Christ, if it is not to serve Him, to glorify Him? Do not indulge in carnal material things. If all you think about is how to make more and more and more money to live in a life of greater luxury, please take a step back. This title, natural brute beast, could be a description of you. Of any one of us. Doesn't matter who you are, what title you have. You can have all the theological training. You have memorized the whole Bible. Immaterial, it's inside.
Because that's what verse 13 says. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, because God will make sure that you are rewarded according to your unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. The phrase count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, the word count it pleasurable, is where we get the English word hedonistic. You know what is a hedonistic lifestyle? All they care about is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. A life of pure, uncontrollable pleasure. Whatever my heart's desire, I will just simply indulge. Right or wrong, sinful or not, moral or immoral, I don't care. If it is good for me to sleep with another man, I sleep with another man. Man with man, woman with woman, don't care. If it is okay, if it is acceptable for me, because I like it, to sleep with many women, I do it. If it is satisfying to me to go to the casino, to gamble away everything, I do it. A reckless way of life, a hedonistic way of life. And they don't do it in the nighttime. They do it in the daytime. They are not ashamed. They will tell the whole world, I'm like that. So what? So what? What are you going to do? I have money. I have power. You want to touch me? You can't touch me. I have the money. I do what I want. Who are you to tell me I'm wrong? That is the natural brute beast. That's how they reply. Can never be reasoned with. All they care about is carnality, the flesh. Worse than animals. And then sports they are. And blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Sports they are, literally means disgrace. All the disgraceful stains that you find in their life, all the blots and blemishes you find in their life, divorce, remarried, remarried, divorce, 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 they don't care. These are all the blots and blemishes. We live in a world that is exactly like this, isn't it? 20 years ago, studying in America in a seminary, went to a place similar to our PUB to turn on the electricity. So I was there queuing up, and so on the marital status, this lady in front of me was asked, what is your marital status? Oh, divorcee! The whole room can hear what she was saying. She was not ashamed. I thought people would be ashamed. When I was growing up as a little boy, nobody liked to be told that their parents are divorced. They are so ashamed of it. Because it was very common for children to have parents who are happily married. And to have them said that my father is divorced, my mother is divorced, they say very quietly, sheepishly. They don't dare to announce to the whole world, divorcee. But today, remarried 2-3 times in the church, no problem. In the church, there are pastors who will marry them. How many times did you walk down the aisles? Oh, 5 times. Only 5. Can walk some more, you know. They don't care. This is the world that we're living in. Sports and blemishes all out in the broad daylight and nobody cares. Nobody cares. Because it is so common, it has become the norm, the way of life. The way of life. Is that not true today? Used to be in the past, homosexuals only come out at night. Because they are so ashamed in certain quarters, in certain parts of Singapore. They won't dare to come out in broad daylight. Nowadays, broad daylight in the bus, in the MRT, anywhere and everywhere they go, they are not ashamed. This is the world. Blots and blemishes, they don't care. But God cares. And that's why God gave us the word and God did not mince His word. And God says, please do not be natural brute beasts. You are made in God's image. I sent my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Please repent of your sin. And if you say that you are truly born again, then let there be a transformation in your life where now your thinking, your heart's desire must be in eternal things, not physical things. Everything that we pray for, what is the motive? Because James tells us in the book of James, don't pray amiss. You pray and you ask for this, you ask for that. What for?
What is it for? Is it to help you enhance your service, that you become more efficient as you serve God, to be a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you want to do this and to do that? You ask people to pray for healing. What do you want to be healed for? Pray tell. So that you can have longer time with this loved one? That's selfish, isn't it? Where is God in the picture when you pray for the person to be healed? You ask God to heal your son. Alright, God will heal your son, but what are you going to do with your son? Bring him up to be a carnal person? Or are you going to pray that God will heal him, so you're going to bring him up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord, that he may be of service to God one day? You're going to dedicate him to the Lord for the Lord's service? Or are you going to pray that he will grow up and study hard and be a doctor so that when I'm old he will look after me? That's self-centered. That is natural brute beast thinking. Only physical, nothing spiritual. Blood and blemishes they have. Sporting themselves. This literally means that all they care about is this bodily function. Whatever that is good for this body. All the immorality, whatever, they just simply do it. Whatever that is suitable, that I feel that I want to do, I just do. Sporting themselves with their own deceivings. Deceiving themselves that they are walking aright with God. Deceiving themselves that they have place in heaven. Now, we're talking about Christians, by the way, dear friends. Christians inside the church come up from within you. False teachers with their followers. These are the marks and the characterization and the destiny of these people who say they are Christians, professing teachers, elders, pastors, deacons. All of us are included in this warning. No exception. None whatsoever. And while they feast with you, they will invite you, please join me. Let us have a big makan together. And then they will indulge. And indulge some more. And they will share their indulgence with you. And invite you to come. Let us all indulge together. Let us all do it together. Because they are not ashamed. And you know something? The scary part is that we love to go. We think it's great. Don't join natural brute beasts in their behavior, in their conduct. This is the judgment that they are going to receive, a reward of unrighteousness. God's guarantee, just as God guaranteed us in chapter 1, the mathematical formula for a victorious life. Just as that guarantee is true, so is this, the judgment of it. And no one is going to escape God. God knows your heart. God knows your mind. God knows every part of us even before we think it. And God does not want us to end up like this. That's why He gave us this revelation as a warning. If God wants us to end up as natural beasts and punish us and reward our unrighteousness, He would not have warned us. He would have taken all these words and put it somewhere else. He doesn't have to reveal it to us. If He delights in punishing us like this, because He does not. That's why He gave us this warning. That you be very careful of such teachers. That you do not end up like this. Please, don't let your heart and your mind be occupied by the things of the world, health and wealth all the time, where no spiritual element comes into your evaluation, in your prayer, in your thinking. Is that a description of your life from Monday to Sunday, week after week after week after week after week? And you continue to come to church and you just go through the motion, please check that we do not belong to this category called natural, physical, brute, irrational, cannot be reasoned with, animals, beasts. Let us pray. Help us, O Lord, search our hearts, that we may be true, that we may be honest with ourselves. Why did we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior? Why are we found in Thy house? Why do we come for prayer meeting? Why do we not come for activities? Why do we come for activities? O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit search our motives, the very depths of our soul and our heart, that none of us be classified as natural brute beasts by Thee. O Lord, may Thou be merciful to speak to all our hearts, that we may truly accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. Because we know that we are all sinners, undone, totally depraved. But for your grace and your mercy, thou hast saved us to the uttermost. Help us, O Lord, to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily, in order that we may follow the Lord Jesus Christ to the very end of our days. And to know, O Lord, that in Him and Him alone, we have eternal life. Help us, therefore, to have our hearts and our minds focused on things that are eternal, and not things that are of this world that will soon perish. For this characterizes natural brute beasts, of which Christians must never, never be. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.